Good morning, KPCW listeners. I'm Sarah.
And I'm John. And we're your hosts for today's Community Campfire, where we share stories about people who live here and showcase the talents of local and visiting musicians.
Coming up this hour, our own Amber Johnson shares the story of axe murderers and love. True story. And Andrea went on a field trip with Nuzzles and a Great Dane named Socks.
And we also have your fun Friday facts for you. Of course, Coach Skinner will give us the skinny on sports. And we finish the hour with the indie trio Lantern by Sea, who dropped by KPCW for a campfire music sesh, actually with Claire Wiley on the Local View.
Cool.
And they're playing Fork Fest in American Fork this weekend.
Very fun. But before we get any further, it's disclaimer time. Take it away, Madeline.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Community Campfire are their own and do not reflect the views, opinions, or official policies of KPCW, its management, staff, or affiliated organizations. The content of this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement by KPCW of any opinions, products, or services discussed during the show.
This is Andrea Buchanan with Campfire Kids. This week, I spoke with Jack and Arthur, two kindergartners from McPullen, and they had some wise words about the benefits of aging.
Well, I didn't have my birthday this year because my birthday's in summer, and my birthday's July 29th.
Oh, my goodness, July 29th? Look at you guys, and you're getting so big. What does it mean to get older?
It means you have to listen more and be responsible for yourself.
Okay, that's very adult.
No!
Do you get more candy?
No. Yeah.
Yeah? Do you get more ding-dongs, donuts?
And then also as you get very old, you get to drink more coffee.
And spoken like my son.
And more coffee.
And which I have right here. All right, kicking it off with the first story of the hour, Amber Johnson. Because it's kicking off also wedding season, she has her own personal story of love and how it started with her husband.
June, the month of sun, sandals, and a parade of perfectly coordinated bridesmaid dresses. Graduation caps fly, suitcases hit the road, and everywhere you turn, love is blooming right alongside all those overpriced floral arrangements. Here at the Community Campfire, we love sharing your Wasatch backstories. And since summer wedding season is officially upon us, we want to hear about yours. Did you meet your significant other in a way that deserves its own rom-com? Have an engagement story that involves a lost ring or unexpected wildlife? Or maybe your wedding featured a wardrobe malfunction, a rogue toast, or a cake catastrophe? Send it our way. We're collecting the best, the wildest, and the most heartwarming tales. And to get this party started, I'll go first. Let's just say it involves future in-laws and a whole lot of awkwardness. We'll call it Meet the Parents, Canadian edition. It was July 2002 when my now husband Jamie and I dove headfirst into what, at the time, was considered a rather questionable social experiment, internet dating. I was living in Salt Lake City, he was in Denver, and I, clearly guided by fate, made the first move. Despite his impressively lackluster profile, his photo looked like it was taken from a glacier at a distance usually reserved for wildlife documentaries. He was too embarrassed to be identifiable. And his bio, a literary gem featuring unforgettable lines like, "I like good food." And yet, we clicked instantly. We spent the next few months buried in long emails, marathon phone calls, and weekend visits. We were in our early 30s. Both veterans of the dating world, and we quickly realized this was it. So naturally, we got engaged faster than you can say, so I married an axe murderer. Fun fact, that Christmas, my brother gifted Jamie a copy of that very movie. Welcome to the family. Looking back, I'm not entirely sure what made us rush, but it just felt right. From the moment I hit send on that first email to when we exchanged our vows, only 7 months passed. 7 months. The love bug had bitten us hard. But the catch? My parents. They're up in Canada, blissfully unaware I was even in a serious relationship. So despite already being engaged, I broke the news in weekly installments that accidentally unfolded like a season of The Bachelorette, minus the mansion, the roses, and the hot tub drama. Week one, I've met a really great guy. Week two, I think he could be the one. Week three, I'm giving him my final rose. By week four, all we were missing was a dramatic helicopter date and a confessional interview with my mom saying, I just hope she's following her heart. Turns out, my ever the wild card mother had a response I did not see coming. Here's my husband, Jamie.
Maybe a month later, I said, hey, I need to ask your dad for your hand in marriage. And so Amber set up a phone call and both of her parents were on. And Amber and her mom are very much the same, overly chatty. Her dad is very quiet and doesn't like talking on the phone. And in classic form, 7 to 8 minutes into the phone call, her dad's like, oh, good talking to you. Nice to meet you. And I was like, well, Stan, actually, there's a reason for this call. I want to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. And before her dad even had a chance to answer back, her mother said, you can have her. And thus we were off and running, joining the two families together.
So what do you get when you mash up the movies So I Married an Axe Murderer with Meet the Parents? One epic recipe for total chaos.
Not too long after we got engaged, we went up to Amber's family and to be with their family for Christmas in Calgary. And for many years before that, I would sometimes have, I would call them vivid dreams, where I would say I was sleepwalking, but I was also very conscious of what's going on around me. And this didn't happen very often, but probably the stress of meeting the family and all the rest.
Jamie was able to keep it together on his first day in Canada, but by night two, he started unraveling.
So I'm in a room in the basement. Next door, Amber's youngest brother and his wife, who was 14 months pregnant.
Miserable.
They were in the room next door, but they were in the family room on the way. And I had one of these kind of vivid dreams. And, you know, dreams sometimes, they're hard to describe. And this one's kind of hard to describe. But basically, I thought there was a mouse in my bed. And I literally jumped out of the bed to the door and just came flying out the door. And both her brother and sister-in-law were just wide-eyed. I remember they were just staring at me like, what in the crap? In my only somewhat conscious state, see them and think they don't remember who I am. So I'm kind of panting and I reach out my hand towards them and I said, don't worry, I'm Jamie Johnson. And they're kind of like, what in the... And I go over, and I only vaguely remember parts of this, and I'm going over and I'm talking to them about a light in the window and all this stuff, and I'm massaging the pregnant woman's back and jabbering on about stuff.
The very prickly pregnant woman who is looking at you like you're a lunatic, you're going over and giving her a massage.
They're like, this is a big mistake. We have to end this marriage thing before it ever happens. So I go upstairs, and as I'm walking up the stairs, I'm slowly waking up. And by the time I hit the top of the stairs, I realize, oh, crap, what have I done? And so I'm embarrassed, so I just curl up on this little two-person love seat, and cozy up to go back to bed. And the next thing I know, her brother comes up the stairs and he's like, dude, are you all right?
Thankfully, Jamie didn't turn out to be an axe murderer, and he is indeed all right.
So 22 years and two kids later, I think they finally did accept me. Although, with all the pictures in the bedroom of the family, there was never a picture of me. But there was a picture of my wife with hockey legend Wayne Gretzky that sat prominently with all the rest of those pictures.
In Jamie's defense, sure, he might be the one, but try competing with a Canadian icon known as the Great One. Also, there ought to be an award for sleepwalking straight into a Meet the Parents blooper reel. From surviving a phantom mouse to becoming the punchline of relentless family roast sessions. And facing the ultimate test, marrying into an entire clan of crazy Canucks. This is Amber Johnson for KPCW's Community Campfire.
Well, as Amber said at the start of that story, if you have any funny meet-cute stories or unique tales to delight our listeners here on the Community Campfire, we want to hear it. Send us an email at communitycampfire@kpcw.org.
Can't wait to hear those stories. All right. Next up, Andrea Buchanan visited Nuzzles & Co., where she buddied up with some pups for an adoption, and including Sox, who is a Great Dane. Let's find out about his big personality.
Nuzzles & Co. is one of the most beloved nonprofits in the Park City area. It was created in 1990 when a group of animal lovers saw a need that wasn't being addressed. They raised money with bake sales and donation jars around town and created a humane and loving shelter for dogs and cats. 35 years later, Nuzzles is a no-kill shelter that finds homes for nearly 1,000 animals a year. And while those are super impressive statistics, Nuzzles does a lot more for our four-legged community members. When I got in touch with Leslie Barkus, the executive director of Nuzzles, she suggested we meet out at the ranch, a 100-acre sanctuary in Browns Canyon. I knew about the Nuzzles Rescue and Rehab Ranch, but must admit, had no idea what to expect. When we turned on the dirt road and passed by many quarries, a beautiful red roof building could be seen off in the distance. The ranch is 16,000 square feet with a vet clinic, rehab facility, and is open to the public. I brought my dog and kids to meet Sox, a newly rescued Great Dane puppy who happened to be 100 plus pounds. Our plan was to take Sox on a field trip that consisted of a hike on the Nuzzles property and a visit to Starbucks for a puppuccino.
Will we be in your story?
I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, is it recording already?
Hello. Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
This is my son, Boone.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And this is my daughter, Ruby.
Hi, Ruby. Okay, so we're going to meet Sox.
Okay.
Sox is huge and he's a puppy.
Okay.
And he wants to play.
Okay.
So, with your poor little dog, he's not at all being in any way vicious. He's just like, I want to play.
Yeah.
He's 100 pounds.
He's 100 pounds.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I'm going to grab a hat. We're going to go around this way.
We decided to tour the facility before hiking Sox, and it was super cool to see all that goes on in this animal sanctuary. We passed by the community clinic where veterinarians spay and neuter animals, and a small kitten incubator for abandoned newborns.
This is a kitten incubator.
Kitten season, so we're getting lots of calls, like, hey, I found kittens in my barn. Or...
Look, you guys, this is a little incubator for kittens. So you put them in there and warm them?
Yeah, because they're super vulnerable. And if they don't keep their little body temperature at about like 87 to 90-ish degrees, they don't survive. And they you could have like a seemingly healthy kitten in the morning and lose it in the afternoon. They're very, very vulnerable.
As we continued our tour, we walked into the quarantine room where animals who are new to the shelter go to make sure they are healthy. It was there we met an adorable dog who had just been brought in that morning.
But we just got a dog back today that was one of our dogs. We think maybe the husband was deported as an illegal, and the whole family's just heartbroken because they loved the dog. So, and it's an adorable dog. But now we have the dog back. So we have, we take any of our animals back for whatever reason. Kind of like, yeah, we might ask, but we'll take them back no matter their age. Because we don't want them to end up in another shelter.
Yeah, we're
no kill. So,
yeah, no kill, right?
Yeah.
We saw a brand new litter of puppies that were 7 weeks old and being treated for upset bellies.
So these are two little critters. I know, Lance and Lando.
Oh, Lance and Lando?
Yeah, Lance and Lando. And there's two other.
Hey, you do.
So these four are actually part of a pack of 8 puppies. Yeah, I think they came from, out east. We work a lot with the Ute Nation or the Navajo for our puppies.
Oh, they want to come say hi.
Yeah.
Can we put our finger in there or no?
Okay, everybody get ready to grab a puppy.
Another area of the ranch had very large indoor-outdoor kennels for dogs to run around a play yard. That's where we met a beautiful long-haired dog named Kona. We all fell in love with her.
Hey, Kona.
So Kona was in our Purple Paw program. So Kona came out of a situation in which domestic violence. And so then they decided to turn her over to us. So now she's become our dog and she's ready for adoption. She's a sweet dog.
The Purple Paw program is unique to Nuzzles, in which they will take a dog or cat into the shelter while the owner who is experiencing domestic violence gets the help they need. Leslie said the program came about in 2012 when a board member discovered that oftentimes a person who is experiencing domestic violence won't leave their abuser for fear of retaliation to the pet. So Nuzzles is a safe place for the pet while the person finds a safe place to live.
Oh, Kona's beautiful. Look at her. She's kind of got like a beard.
I know, she's brilliant. She's
with her beautiful ears.
I know, she's
young. Oh, she's gorgeous.
Hi, girl. Hi.
Oh,
hi,
look Kona. At her. Look at that face.
She's super sweet.
Yeah.
I know.
Finally, it was time to meet Sox. When the puppy rounded the corner and came bounding towards us, Sox felt more like a pony than a puppy. He had black spots over a salt and pepper coat and a bandaged tail, which was wagging ferociously.
Hi, Sox. You're so beautiful.
Yeah, he's a gorgeous dog. So we had to amputate his tail this past week because he was running a fever and he had like an infected tail.
Oh.
So he was banging it around so much that he injured it.
Hey, I know. You want to come out. You'll come out later.
So he just had his tail amputated.
Oh, baby.
So the happy tails when he's banging it around and
the wall so much that it kills the tail.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
He killed his tail.
You killed your tail?
He did.
Sucks.
Wait, was his tail
so he's
like 100... really long?
Yeah, it was pretty long.
And we don't love to do that because dogs signal with their tail,
of
right?
Of course.
Like it's a form of communication. And so because he's so large and he doesn't necessarily always know how to greet dogs as not a puppy, and his size, we were hoping he could keep his tail, but I think he's like a different dog since he has a tail amputation.
Yeah,
he's got a lot more energy.
Oh,
really?
Oh, good.
We don't
cool.
think he felt well.
Sox had been at Nuzzles for a few weeks. His previous owners had just moved from California, and they were told by their landlord he was too big for the home. When I asked if that was credible, Leslie said they did the right thing and asked before moving here if they could have dogs, and were told yes, up to 2 50-pound dogs. But they didn't realize one 100-pound dog wouldn't work. So Sox was looking for a new home, but in the meantime, his trusty Nuzzles companion and trainer, Jordan, had been working with him to get him ready for adoption.
This play yard, so this morning we were doing a training with Sox here, trying to make him understand that he's huge. He wants to play. He's like, Sox, you know, you need to know how to... You need to refine your approach, right?
Refine your approach? Because he's just like a lumbering giant.
We set out on our hike with Sox. Pops of yellow wildflowers dotted the green hillsides for as far as the eyes could see. This gorgeous Great Dane loved getting outside, and who could blame him? This is a perfect place to get these special dogs some exercise. Leslie explained to me how Nuzzles always needs volunteers for walking dogs to mundane tasks. The need is always there.
And, you know, we're a small staff, so there's no end of things for people to do. That, you know, are not even just walking dogs or socializing cats, which are important, of course.
Right.
But we have a volunteer. I referred to the fact that we operate under a capacity for care model, and integral in that capacity for care model is that you try to get the pets adopted out as quickly as you can to acceptable homes,
mm-hmm.
to reduce stress, and also... to keep your adoption rates high as you can.
Yeah.
We walked for about 20 minutes and let Sox run free at the end of our hike. He galloped like a horse. Finally, it was time to get Sox to Starbucks for his first ever puppuccino, or otherwise known as a pup cup. Whipped cream in a small cup that dogs, including mine, live for. Sox got a lot of attention. Everyone in the coffee shop wanted to say hi.
This is Sox. He's with Nuzzles. He's up for adoption. You can say hi. This is Sox.
Sox?
Sox.
Sox. Oh, Sox, he's so pretty.
The barista gave Sox two Grande Pub Cups, and he licked the first one in record time. We went outside to enjoy the early afternoon sun and let Sox say hi to a group of people.
Oh, you are so cute.
So gorgeous.
They gave us two of these ginormous Pub Cups. You wanna give him one?
He's just, I think, is this his first Pub Cup, do we think?
Yeah, that was absolutely.
So he's just like, what in the world is happening?
Oh my gosh, he's beautiful.
Jordan explained that Sox was going from this field trip to a foster family that evening. It was a trial run to see if he was going to fit in with the family. The field trip was a success, and Sox is a showstopper. After a couple of weeks, I reached out to Leslie for an update on Sox. She said he found a home. The family that fostered him for a while fell in love, and so did their chihuahua and two cats. Yay, Sox! Yay, family! Yay, Nuzzles! A shelter that isn't just about finding homes, but with compassion, training, and dedication, Nuzzles transforms lives, one wagging tail and purring heart at a time. This is Andrea Buchanan with KPCW's Community Campfire.
This is Amber. We recently caught up with 7-year-old Nell, a textbook firstborn with a fierce sense of independence and a deep appreciation for personal space, especially when it comes to her 4-year-old sister. Nell has some very fond memories of what she calls the golden years.
But then she took my spot, kind of, and then she was watching me like crazy, and I didn't like that.
Yeah? Is she your only sister?
Yes.
Okay.
I wish I was an only child, honestly.
But wouldn't that be kind of boring sometimes?
I loved it when I was an only child when I was little. That only lasted 3 years.
Kids. All right. Well, welcome to the Community Campfire. I'm John Burdick here with my co-host, Sarah Irvin.
And if you're just tuning in, we've had quite a morning with Amber's Meet the Parents story, Nearly Gone Awry, and Andrea Buchanan's field trip with Sox, the Great Dane. Now it's time for sports. Welcome to the studio, Bill. What's the skinny on sports this week?
Oh, let's do a little abbreviated version of the skinny on sports this week, because we have two trail running events. Those are going to be tomorrow at Round Valley. They may limit some trail access during the morning hours. It's the Park City Trail Series. The first of their three runs is going to be starting tomorrow. That's going to be a 5K race. They'll have a 10K and a half marathon later this summer. The Moose on the Loose, you just heard details about that on the local news hour. It's a kids event that is also going to be going on. And in case you missed it, we will be posting that interview on our website later this morning. For pickleballers out there, the very popular Oakley Pickleball Tournament. That's coming up on June 27th and 28th. I want to mention it today, though, because registration ends next Thursday, June 12th. So you want to get registered if you're interested in that.
Competitive pickleball.
On the national and world scene, we got the French Open wrapping up this weekend. The women's finals is going to be number one, Aryna Sabalenka, versus number two, American Coco Gauff. Let's go, Coco. That's playing tomorrow morning. Men's semifinal is ongoing as we speak, and they'll be playing their finals on Sunday. The Stanley Cup Finals is a rematch of last year's 7-game thriller of a series between the Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers, and Game 1 picked up right where last year left off as Edmonton beat Florida in an overtime game. Game 2 is tonight, and in the NBA, the finals got underway last night with the Indiana Pacers pulling off another improbable late-game comeback and winning Game 1 over the Oklahoma City Thunder on a last-second shot. Game 2 is Sunday, and that's your Skinny on Sports. I'm Coach Skinner, and I'm just going to leave you one quick fun fact. On this day 79 years ago, June 6th, 1946, the NBA was founded.
Ooh, all right.
Good.
Thanks, Bill.
Fact.
That's great. And it's graduation season, Sarah.
That's right. Congratulations to all the recent grads from Wasatch High School, North Summit, and South Summit High Schools. And congrats to the Park City seniors who are celebrating their graduation later today. You guys did it. Woohoo! All right, John, do you have a fun fact for us?
Today is not only D-Day,
which we know,
June 6, 1944, the Normandy storming, where the Allies started their effort to liberate Western Europe from the Nazis. Today is also National Donut Day, that goes back before D-Day to World War I and the Salvation Army. And the women who were on the Salvation Army lines in France, they got donuts to the soldiers in World War I. and they created those tasty treats actually in the helmets of the soldiers in the beginning. And so today is National Donut Day.
Another
get out there
D-Day.
And
like
enjoy
it.
A fritter. What do you like?
Oh, I like maple.
I'm going Boston cream.
All right,
Coach Skinner, what do you got?
Donuts.
Oh, yeah, give me something filled like an eclair.
Okay, all right. So in today in history, 1983, The Reading Rainbow premiered on PBS.
I do love that.
Yeah, LeVar. And then the number one hit June 6, 2015 was...
Bad Blood
by who?
Taylor Swift.
Thank you. There it is.
Well, that leads us right into our campfire music sesh of the week. Utah natives Porter and Tate Smith and Josh Alvey are the talents behind the band Lantern by Sea. Before they head to Forkfest this weekend, they stopped by KPCW to chat with Claire Wiley and play a few songs, including a yet-to-be-released gem.
Yep, and those were a blast, but let's first enjoy a Campfire Kid before we get into Lantern by Sea.
More Campfire Kids, Jack and Arthur, on the trials and tribulations of screen time.
What is your allotted screen time? What did your parents say? What's too much screen time?
And they mostly just let me watch something in the morning if I get dressed, and then... We only get to watch a movie on Friday.
Oh, there. That's good. What about you, honey?
We just do whatever we want. Like...
It's a free-for-all.
For all of you music lovers out there, we love to have bands live in our studio, and we have just that today. So I want to welcome Lantern by Sea, and we are going to go around the room, and you guys are going to tell me who you are and what instrument you play. Do you want to start, Tate?
Yeah, so I'm Tate Smith. I'm the drummer and some backup vocals.
And I'm Porter Smith. I am the lead singer, and I am rhythm guitar.
And I'm Josh Alvey, and I play lead guitar and a little backing vocal.
Just a little bit of an origin story. Who wants to give me the origin story of how it all started?
I mean, really early on, Porter started picking up the guitar.
Because of Guitar Hero.
Because of Guitar Hero.
The video game.
Yeah, the video game. Yeah.
And nice.
I was like, well, okay, I guess someone needs to play the drums. So I started playing the drums, and I was like, this is kind of similar to real drums. So I learned the drums by putting a TV in my living room in front of a real drum set and played along to Guitar Hero with Metallica.
It works.
And it works. Yeah, that's how I learned the drums.
It's out there. Get on Guitar Hero. Now, I remember playing it, but I never went very far with it. So were your scores really good, I'm assuming?
In the beginning, but then you get used to the instrument and then you suck at the game.
Yeah.
You're terrible.
We're horrible at the game.
Yeah, I'm terrible at that game.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
So you guys got together by doing that. So you realized that you had this musical inclination and you started to maybe pick that up. Josh, where'd you come along?
We met each other on a dating website. No.
Tinder.
I mean, basically it was
it's like band Tinder.
Yeah, like band Tinder.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we found each other.
Yeah.
And never looked back.
Yeah.
What a story. Wait. Okay. I want to learn more about this. You can find a life partner, but you can also find a band partner.
Equal to a life
partner. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In a lot of ways.
I don't know if it still exists. It was like a website.
A website.
Yeah. So like think eHarmony instead of Tinder.
Yeah. Earlier. Early date.
What was it? 8 years ago.
Yeah.
We moved to Utah and we needed more musicians for what we wanted to do. So we reached out and found Alvey.
Tell me the story behind the name.
Oh boy.
There's a film called Master and Commander. It's one of our favorites, but in the film, there's this scene where they kind of create this decoy ship, and they use these lanterns. They're being chased by the French, and at night, they shut off their lights and then use this decoy ship, and it kind of chases away the French. And so it's kind of the metaphor behind that is we're hoping our music is kind of a tool to kind of chase away the enemy, sort of
distraction,
metaphorical demon you might have in your life. So that's kind of where it comes from.
I love that story. That's a great story. Lantern by Sea is such a good and intriguing name. So
thank you.
When you form this band and you start thinking about your sound, or you start to, I guess, meld together, what was that like and how would you now describe your sound?
So we all love cinema,
mm-hmm.
Like a lot. And I think we want to tell a story. So for our first album, we wanted to tell this story about this protagonist who's kind of venturing to the rim of the world. And it was definitely something that we discovered along the way, but a lot of the themes and the lyrics were very much kind of encompassing our youth and what that felt like what it was like to be young, experience all the experiences, good, bad, traumatic, everything, and then to kind of come of age, explore that, and then suddenly you're at this point in your life where you're at the unknown and you don't know things. When you're young, you go to school, everything's set. And then you're like, okay, you'll go to college, which we, you know, I went for 2 weeks, Tate went for 2 years, and Alvy went for 3 weeks. What was it?
No, I got a year.
You got a year in? Good. You kind of hit this unknown of life is what you want to make of it. So a lot of our sound has come from songs that we listened to when we were young and the bands we listened to, like Cage the Elephant, Arcade Fire, Manchester Orchestra.
Well, you were a big Metallica guy.
Dude,
I don't really know how that factors into our sound.
It doesn't, it doesn't really that much.
You're like, oh, I got a little piece of Metallica now. Yeah, I don't hear that much with your sound, but I do like the idea that your music is kind of a journey, because I do feel that way. When I listen to it, it feels like it is quite journey-like. And I read a little bit on your website, and you had said that during COVID, this is kind of where this idea came about this journey or introspection. Can you tell me about that?
We did this whole thing through COVID. The last show we played was actually here in Park City during Sundance. And then right after that, we were like, we need to write an album. We need to do it. We have these songs. We needed to do an album. It took us 2 years to do it. Yeah, it was very much just like locking us in a upstairs bedroom and busting out all these songs until we got them right.
We love the album format. We love the storytelling format, just the long form of storytelling. And it's hard because we live in a world with a lot of short form storytelling where you have just these reels and all these things. And so we were very passionate about being like, okay, I want to continue this and see if this can still work, you know, in the world that we live in now. And so...
And I think we found an audience that appreciates the long form as well. And we understand like the need to hook people right away too. So that's an important part of us developing a sound. COVID was definitely that time down. It was interesting. We had decided to make an album and to stop playing shows, and then COVID hit and you couldn't play shows anyway. So it just kind of worked out with the timing. And then we just sat through all that and just really just wrote and wrote and wrote and created that story. And we are excited to continue it.
Yeah.
What is the first song then that you said that you were going to play?
Half of My Soul.
And what is this one about?
I dated a lot until I found my wife. And it's kind of about all the heartbreak with that, where you feel like you give somebody a piece of you and then it doesn't work out. And then you're like, oh, I was so vulnerable and open and it hurts. But, you know, it's also a really great experience to experience. So
if you haven't been listening and you've just tuned in, you tuned at the very right time. We have Lantern by C, Utah band, here in our studios, and they are going to delight us with a live song. This one is called Half of My Soul.
One, two, ready, go.
A sudden loss of my love. There's nothing here that I could have done. Now I'm learning the meaning of rust. Just hoping that I'll eventually detach. But I know that I've oxidized a catatonic state where I'm wasting time. I know that I've oxidized a catatonic state where I'm wasting time. I stumbled in. Okay. Through a spacesuit and you done up hair, I thought I saw what we'd be. Now the ghost of you still floats through me, but I know that it's just gravity. I'm in a decaying orbit, I'll eventually sink. I know that it's just gravity. I'm in a decaying orbit, I'll eventually sink. I found when you go that I'm losing half of my soul. I found when you go that I'm losing half of my soul. Oh, oh, yeah, you're taking more than you know.
lost by your side. Believe me, I was more than alive. There's a moment in which we both knew that in time we'll part and collapse our hearts. But I know that I'm falling back on a fragile timeline. I'm losing my tracks. I know that I'm falling back on a fragile timeline. I'm losing my tracks. I found when you go that I'm losing half of my soul. I found when you go that I'm losing half of my soul. Oh, oh, yeah, you're taking more than you know. I found when you go that I'm losing half of my. Could have been lost in my own. Now I'm stuck here just laying the stone. And I should have been lost in my own. Now I'm stuck here just building another man's home. I found when you go that I'm losing half of my soul. I found when you go that I'm losing half of my soul.
Woo! Lantern by Sea. That is a Utah band, and they are here in our studio live playing, and that was called Half of My Soul. It's hard to come from that and just say, hey, talk about Porkfest, buds. that's what we're going to do. So tell me about what's happening this weekend and how you got involved and who can join in.
So we're playing Porkfest this weekend. It's Saturday. We're on at 6. Porkfest started, I think, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I can't remember. But it's a lot of local bands, and then they try and like get like one big headliner for the night. This year it's Aquabats. It's really cool. It's a festival that's starting in American Fork, and a lot of good people that we know have set it up, and we love it, and we're so grateful they're having us back. But yeah, it's happening this Saturday, and it's a fun time. There's food trucks, there's other vendors that sell like clothes and art, and then there's music for days.
Here's a question for you. If you could play any venue, do you have like your pinnacle where you're like, this is where I want to play?
I have one.
I've got one.
My wife and I recently took a trip to Iceland, and off the coast of Iceland, there's this island, and there's a music venue that's essentially just these massive green hills behind it, and it's the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen. I don't know if outsiders ever play there, but they do like an Icelandic music festival there every year, and it was the most gorgeous place I've ever seen. So that's
That would be amazing.
Weird, that was mine too. No, I was gonna say Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Red Rocks would be
amazing.
Yeah. Do you have one, Porter?
I don't think I have one. I remember, like, I grew up watching so many YouTube videos of my favorite bands doing interviews like this and then going and playing concerts. Coachella would be dope. It's not, like, my pinnacle thing I want to do, but seeing all my favorite bands go, I think it'd be like a, you know, actually, I'd want to, I think Jimmy Fallon.
I was going to say
Jimmy
late
Fallon
night.
Show. Any late night show. That's it. Yeah.
Do you know Jimmy is a big fan of the show? I'm just kidding. I feel like he listens. I tell myself that he does. So Jimmy.
So I guess he does.
Book Lantern by Sea. Hit them up. We can be your conduit. We're happy to make that happen for you. I like to ask people a lot of times what their first concert was and if that played a role in their sounds. But I feel like, what was your song on Guitar Hero that you loved to play?
It was Guitar Hero Metallica so it was a lot of Metallica songs.
Okay.
But I will say Float On by Modest Mouse was on one of the earlier Guitar Heroes. And that was kind of a big musical awakening, I think, for Porter and I. We grew up with a lot of classic rock, other things, not just Metallica, but our dad loves Rush. He's a huge Rush fan.
Oh.
So, you know, we had a lot of that. I'll always feel inadequate compared to Neil Peart. So.
Well, he is.
Yeah, he's unreal. He's in a league of his own.
Yeah, very much so. But what was your
Josh? I also grew up with a ton of classic rock. My parents were big classic rock people, went to a ton of concerts when they were young. So that was always in the house. It would be, you know, like Van Halen and Journey and stuff like that. But yeah, my first was my dad took me to a Journey concert when I was, I think, 8.
That's so fun.
And just immediately was hooked on that. And then my older brother did take me to Warped Tour every single year. As soon as I was old enough to go, so maybe 13, he started dragging me to Warped Tour every year, which was a ton of fun too.
And did you know then that this was something that you wanted to pursue?
Oh, yeah.
Music was always, oh.
Yeah, it was always in my family as well. My dad was in a band when he was in high school, and my brother played, and I picked it up when I was about 12. And so it was kind of just always around.
Very cool. And you had dropped your last album in 2022. What's your goal for the next album coming out?
The songs are all written on acoustic guitar, and then we're going to go into the studio and record them all. And that'll take like a month, and then we'll sit on it for a couple weeks and then go back in and mix it and master it. We're planning on doing like a long release of the album throughout all of next year. Maybe summer, maybe spring.
Summer, spring of next year is when we can look forward to it. But when you go to the concerts, you get to hear these songs that aren't on the album that you have released now, correct?
Yeah, or if you follow us on social media, we'll start posting the songs as well, so you can get a little taste here and there.
Oh, very nice. So yeah, tell us about your social media. How do people follow you? How do they get involved with your music?
You can follow us at Lantern by C on anything, on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram. We have an X account. We have Facebook too, for those old timers out there.
Oh, people like me. You can look them up on Facebook.
I apologize.
No, you're totally fine. But so your Instagram, again, your handle?
At Lantern by C.
At Lantern by C. Any last comments that you want to make for your fans out there? We've tell them about Forkfest or coming to see you. Yeah, this is your moment.
Honestly,
love you guys.
We love you guys. Yeah, we love you guys. Thank you for listening to us so far. And we can't wait to show you what we're working on next.
Yeah, we're on all streaming platforms, our first album and many singles. So,
and yeah, we play them here on KPCW. I love to play you. We love to support our local artists and especially have them come in and play live and let people know just how much talent that we have in this state, because we do have a lot of talent in this state. So Lantern by C, we appreciate you. Everyone go to Forkfest, and we are going to take it on out to another song that they're going to play for you here. Can you tell me a little bit about this one?
Yeah, so this one's called Culturous Bones. Basically, it's about how kind of when you grow up, there's a culture you grow up around. Sometimes there's a lot of lies and culture that you grow up in, and you get away from that culture, but you still believe the lie, and you realize that those like bones that were set then are now in you, and like you have to do the work to work through those false beliefs and find the truth.
All right. And this one, you haven't really released it.
Yeah, we haven't released it. We've played it live at a couple concerts. If you want to hear it more, come to our Forkfest Saturday and we'll play this one as well there.
This song has not been released yet, but you'll hear it live in their concerts, and they're going to play it for us right now on KPCW. There you go.
Culture's bones, the victor of pain. You crown me king and I'll never be the same. For savage men and all of the savage things that they've said, saying, oh, how the story's got you all wrong. Been losing your life, kid, and wasting some time, man. You gotta move on. I said, oh, how your story's got me all wrong. Been losing my lifeblood on hearing your dark love. I gotta move on. 'Cause I've been afraid for far too long of the bones that I'll leave when I'm gone. Yeah, I've been afraid for far too long of the bones that I'll leave when I'm gone.
I still hear you call and ring out my name. The echoes of youth I can never forsake. From stranger times when I was the strangest one in the room. They'll take your time and give you good praise. The poisonous tongue of a covetous slave. So draw this out, my friend, 'cause I'm the one who needs this to end. Saying, oh, how the story's got me all wrong. Been losing my lifeblood and wasting some time, love. I gotta move on. 'Cause I've been afraid for far too long of the bones that I'll leave when I'm gone. Yeah, I've been afraid for far too long of the bones that I'll leave when I'm gone. I'll take the blame and I'll wear the shame in my stride. If I take the blame, should I? Far too long of the bones that I'll leave when I'm. In this wasteland, I'm wasting away. I am the lightning that leaves no trace. I'm the last living soul they gave a name. I'm leaving footsteps just fueled by my shame. I am the wasteland just wasting away. I'm leaving lightning that has not a trace. And now my footsteps, they're fueled by my shame. I am the wasteland that has no name. 'Cause I've been afraid for far too long of the bones that I'll leave when I'm gone. Yeah, I've been afraid for far too long. I'll take the blame and I'll wear the shame in my stride. If I take the blame, should I wear the shame in my stride? 'Cause I've been afraid for far too long of the bones that I'll leave when I'm gone. I'm leaving.
That was great. Glad to have Leander Mycie in studio with us. And we're wrapping it up here at the Community Campfire. If you missed any part of today's show, you can catch it on our website, kpcw.org, or wherever you find your podcasts. John, do you have a fun fact to end the day for us?
The word for someone who is giving an opinion about something they know nothing about is an ultra-crepidarian. Look it up. It's true. Thanks for tuning into the Community Campfire.